How much do you know about pharmacogenomics? With the access to data becoming more and more prevalent, innovations around precision medicine are changing the healthcare industry. Welcome to the HIMSS Innovation That Sticks podcast, where we bring you conversations with innovators who provide insight to unique and transformative solutions and ideas in healthcare through their expertise and experiences. Today, we're happy to welcome Christine Ashcraft, CEO and founder of YouScript. YouScript provides faster, more proactive, personalized medication management. They synthesize evidence impacting drug response to support the right decision at the point of care. They are the only peer-reviewed system incorporating pharmacogenomics that shows improved outcomes, reduced costs, and high patient and provider satisfaction. YouScript is a winner of Cleveland Clinic's 2018 Medical Innovation Summit. The event was powered by Cleveland Clinic, HIMSS, HealthXL, Jumpstart, and Plug and Play, with more than 40 startups pitching their health tech concepts. In this episode, we sit down with Christine, where she discusses her experience participating in the Cleveland Clinic's 2018 Medical Innovation Summit, how health systems can prepare to partner with startup companies, her views of the healthcare industry from a woman health IT leader point of view, and the importance of why data sharing is so important for the future of the industry. All that and more in this episode of Innovation That Sticks. HIMSS would like to thank our Innovation That Sticks podcast sponsor, NewWave. NewWave merges innovation, precision, and compassion, empowering their clients to use technology in new ways as they solve problems for the greater good. NewWave is an information technology company helping businesses and government agencies modernize and thrive by applying the power of technology. Learn more about NewWave at www.newwave.io. We're here today with Christine Ashcraft, CEO and founder of YouScript. YouScript provides an actionable, personalized drug dose optimization based on the latest evidence right in the clinical workflow, and is a recent winner of the Cleveland Clinic's 2018 Medical Innovation Summit. Christine, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, and how did you become an innovator?
So I'm a military brat. I went to 17 schools, 17 years, 5 countries, and 7 states. And growing up, we would move off base and buy houses and remodel them and sell them. And I was taught, if you have a problem, you figure it out and you fix it. And I think that at the crux of it, innovators are really just problem solvers that see problems out there that need to be solved and go and do it.
It's refreshing to hear that kind of approach to life, that folks will identify a problem, roll up the sleeves, and take care of it. So YouScript was one of the big winners of the Cleveland Clinic's 2018 Medical Innovation Summit. Tell us why YouScript is innovative and how it can really impact the industry.
I am a molecular biologist by training. I've been in the precision medicine space, specifically pharmacogenetics, since 2000. And way back then, there was an article in Fortune magazine about a boy named Michael who had died of an overdose because, like one in 20 patients, he had a DNA variation that, in concert with his other medications, made his drug unsafe for him. And I was working at a laboratory that time that was actually one of the first crime labs in the country, and they were looking for something that leveraged their core competency in providing high-quality genetic tests. And we read this article way back in 2000 about the dawning of the age of precision medicine when we would use genetics to cater drugs and doses to patients. So, like good science geeks, we went to PubMed and started looking at just how common these DNA variations were and how many drugs they impacted, and naively thought, hey, this will be standard of care in like 5-6 years, tops. But I had a very unique opportunity to speak with literally thousands of physicians, pharmacists, patients, and payers about the widespread barriers to adoption of technology that could have saved Michael's life. The questions we would get were very common. How do I know which patients to test? How do I know how to act on that in my busy clinical workflow? And where are the studies actually validating this will improve patient outcomes? In my mind, YouScript is really the answer to the culmination of all of those learnings. So we are taking a big step forward. We have prescribed medications in the same binary way, essentially only interrupt a prescription being prescribed or dispensed if there's a binary interaction alert that flags at that time. But we don't take a comprehensive view of it. I compare it to, you know, we used to all unfold these paper maps to get from point A to point B. That's how we have essentially prescribed medications for a very long time. We're making the same jump forward we took when we moved from that paper map to the real-time traffic app on our phone. So YouScript warns of traffic jams, but instead of those being caused by cars, we warn of metabolic traffic jams, whether the cause is drugs, genes, herbals, foods like grapefruit juice. And just like the app on your phone says, hey, this highway is completely blocked, go over here. We provide real-time drug and dose optimization guidance based on the latest evidence that will reduce the risk of a metabolic traffic jam, so to speak. I think that when you're like, why does that matter? It comes at a great cost. Both patients like Michael, unfortunately, it's not an uncommon story. We lose a life every 2 minutes in the United States because of adverse drug events. That's a full 747 every 17 hours. And from a price standpoint, we spend about $528 billion on non-optimized medications, according to a publication that came out last year. Just to put that in perspective, that's more than we spend on cancer. It's more than we spend on heart disease. It's more than we spend on obesity. So it's really, I would say, the biggest problem we're facing right now in healthcare in terms of cost, and it's getting worse. The more medications you take, the more likely you are to have a problem. And we now have 50 million patients taking five or more meds a day. That's expected to double by 2040.
Data will be playing a very large role in what you're doing and around access of data.
Yeah.
Who owns the data? How do we integrate data within different areas within the health system? How are you overcoming the challenges of getting your hands on the data? Because it seems like the more data that you can digest,
yeah,
the more accurate predictions you'd be able to provide and provide a better care plan. How are you tackling that challenge?
That is a great question. I do believe that at the end of the day, the data belongs to the patient. That's their information, and it should be made available to them. And if they don't want it to be used in a de-identified manner to optimize care, that's their choice. We do have the back end of our software engineered to remove patients at their request from new learnings. So far, all of our customer partners have given us access to de-identified data as long as that patient permission is in place to start learning not just what hits the evidence base, but the nuanced causes of multi-factor interactions. So the more data we're able to access, the better we're going to get at shortening the time frame, which is currently about 7 years. So a drug will come to market, about 7 years later we go, oh, it's a very bad idea to give that drug or that dose to this subset of patients. The shorter we can make that, the better off we're all going to be.
It seems like the more patients you can reach and the more patients you can educate over the benefits of providing their health data to you.
Yeah.
What type of partnerships and what types of populations are you trying to target in order to take that next leap forward? Because you are a startup, but I'm sure there's certain populations that you'd like to get started with that would have the biggest impact and you can bring the most value to.
Correct. So right now we're very focused on systems where they're both the payer and the provider for either their entire healthcare population or a portion thereof, or payers that have direct access to providers through some channels. A good example there, we are working with Clover, who's one of the new venture-backed Medicare Advantage plans. They are using our clinical decision support tool as well as pharmacogenetic testing in their complex care patients. So they're most expensive, high-risk patients that are taking a lot of medications. I mentioned earlier that we've done a lot of studies, and our studies have almost all been in 50 or 65 and older populations that are taking multiple medications, because that's where you see the bulk of adverse drug events, emergency room visits, hospitalizations, even avoidable death, because there's so much going on in terms of the complexity. So we can flag patients most likely to benefit from genetic testing. We did just have a patent allowed on our ability to stack rank patients most likely to benefit, and then provide real-time drug and dose optimization guidance to make sure they're taking the safest, most effective drugs and doses the current evidence allows for.
So let's circle back to the fact that you are a startup and that you recently competed at the Cleveland Clinic's 2018 Medical Innovation Summit. Again, congratulations on winning that award. Let's reflect back on that experience. What were some of the lessons that you would want to share with others that are competing in these types of innovation competitions? It seems like it's a great avenue for startups to learn best approaches, perhaps, on how to partner with health systems or corporations. Tell us a little bit about the lessons that you learned.
So I think, first of all, thank you. A huge honor to win and very humbled to win because the competition was stiff. There were some incredibly impressive companies that also presented. But I'd say that the lessons learned, and I think what they were looking for, is this a very big healthcare problem that is being solved in a unique way? And just making that very clear. Do they have a good go-to-market strategy? I think the reason that we were successful and the reason we went after it is because part of the win, in addition to being able to do this great podcast and working with Hims, we did get a free booth in the Innovation Live Zone. And we also had the opportunity to speak with some Cleveland Clinic providers to get direct feedback, you know, what they liked best about what we're doing right now and where they thought it would fit in the healthcare ecosystem, areas we could improve. And that's, I think, the biggest benefit. The more feedback you can get from the people that are actually going to be using those tools, the better you can improve what you're delivering.
So you can fine tune it a little bit.
Yeah.
And once you get the fine tuning done, are we at a stage where we're now partnering with folks? Do you have some partners lined up? And if you do, what are some of the advice that you would have for healthcare organizations that are partnering with startups like you and other startups who are out there? What's some of the advice that you would provide these health systems when approaching and how to work with startups and to ensure that you don't only just have a successful implementation, but you also you keep the ball rolling. You keep pushing the puck forward and meeting it. It doesn't just die in a pilot stage. So how do we get through that?
That's a great question, and I wish somebody had told me the answer to that before I got started. So a few pieces of advice there. One, from the beginning, set out what success looks like so that if the pilot is successful, it automatically rolls into a larger deployment of your offering. I think that's lesson learned number one. So making sure that's very clearly defined from the beginning. For example, we really want to track our ability to reduce emergency room visits, hospitalizations, readmissions in the patients that receive this intervention. You know, what is the comparator? Is it those patients pre and post? And if so, how are you controlling for that patient got cancer after the intervention? Obviously, that's going to impact how things play out. I think that one model we found incredibly helpful, Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield has a vital innovation program, and we were selected for that, and they paid for the implementation and licensing of our software for Premier Medical, which is a 100-physician practice that's under Allegheny Health Network. They paid for testing for patients that we flagged as benefiting from that intervention. And they are tracking it very carefully and worked with us closely on what mattered to them in terms of metrics and have been incredibly helpful. We applied. We said, hey, we think you should look at what we're doing. It's really going to help. But they actually had a process to apply. They worked with you on what those metrics were and really followed them through. I'd say as a startup, it's very frustrating sometimes. I will meet someone called the chief innovation officer, and I'm super excited to meet someone called a chief innovation officer. And I'm like, so what's your process for innovation here? And they're like, process? And I'm like, yeah, don't you have a way to, you know, vet and a budget for new innovations that could really help meet the triple or quadruple aim? My piece of advice to health systems, more so than on the startup side, is please, don't just give somebody a title, give them a budget. And work on a process that really helps bring, you know, these innovations that so many people are working on.
There also has to be a space to fail. You have to be able to go in there, try it, pilot it. If it fails, that doesn't mean it just ends. It doesn't have to be death by pilot for a certain clinic. But you have to be able to shift and make sure that we've learned from those failures so that we can move forward and make it a success in the long run. So let's pivot for a moment. thinking back, when you first got into healthcare and you first got into this space as an innovator, mm-hmm. as a woman leader within healthcare, which, you know, we could use a lot more of, mm-hmm. did you have a mentor? Did you have someone that you looked up to, a role model that perhaps gave you advice on how to move forward and how to secure a footing in an industry such as healthcare? What was one of maybe a best piece of advice that you might want to give others out there?
I've had a lot of mentors, and we would be here the entire hour listing them all. If I had the time to thank them all, I would. But I think more recently, as a healthcare IT co-founder and leader, I had the honor of being selected to participate in Springboard Enterprises, which is a nonprofit that helps women-led companies align with different mentors that can help them get funding, customers, validate market fit, et cetera. And they assigned me just a top-notch group of volunteer mentors that have been incredibly helpful in opening up their network. Part of that, though, was a boot camp first few days, and you had to stand up in front of people and talk about yourself and your company. And it's interesting, women are different than men. They had to pound into us that you needed to claim credit for things. It's something that women don't tend to do as much as men. And I remember one piece of advice from one of the Springboard volunteers, one of the successful women in healthcare IT, was, my best piece of advice, and this probably is beyond women, every morning in the mirror, look at yourself and remind yourself that you're a superstar.
I like that. That's wonderful. Has your perspective changed? And what are some of the challenges that have to be overcome? What challenges remain for women in the health IT industry at this point?
I think that challenges exist for women both in and outside of healthcare IT, because whether it's fair or not, men and women do tend to communicate in different ways. There was an incredibly interesting TED Talk of a woman that looked at venture pitches and the questions that were asked of women versus asked of men, even by male and female VCs on the panels. And men are tend to ask questions, how are you going to scale the business? What's your revenue going to be? And the questions to women were more protection oriented. Well, what other competition out there is going to take you out? Do you really have IP? Is this really proprietary? And it was interesting that they said that the women that managed around that switched it to, oh, I'm going to knock it out of the park, kind of answering the question in a different way. And I think just like anything else, we have to be aware of unintended biases. I think that most people want to do the right thing by patients, and that's why we're all in healthcare. So at the end of the day, you connect on that level and stay focused there. But I mean, it's a slog.
So let's look forward. You're an innovator. You have your startup. You've won this wonderful competition. You're starting to make an impact. Let's take a broader look at the industry. What are some of the innovations, and where does innovation need to happen now within the healthcare industry?
That's a great question. Obviously, I think one area, and I love that it's becoming more and more of a conversation. There's so much to be done in healthcare. I mean, people are still faxing things, for the love of God, right? So we have that. But coming at us like a really fast train right now is genome sequencing. It's coming. It's going to be the standard of care. You're going to need to figure out how to store that in a secure HIE and access that information in different ways at different parts of a patient's life to impact clinical decision making. And so you've got this incredible layer of complexity with layers and layers of other things that can impact response. And we haven't even gotten rid of the fax machine.
It's shocking. It's shocking that we're still intercepting faxes on a daily basis, even at some of the most progressive hospitals and hospital systems out there. One of the biggest challenges is that there just isn't enough resources for those who aren't able to move forward. So the mom and pop clinical practices that are out there, how do we get them on board? How do we get them to move forward? It's a bit of a challenge in the industry. There has to be a sense that we can't leave our other clinical practices behind. We need to make sure that they all have access, resources, so that we can all integrate our data and we can all learn from each other to provide a higher level of care.
Right. I heard a great term from a friend in Seattle. He said, we really need to do a better job communifying the data, making it accessible in a de-identified manner or identified when appropriate as much as possible, because that's really how we're going to advance healthcare with the biggest impact for everybody.
Well, Christine, this has been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on the HIMSS Innovation That Sticks podcast.
Thank you so much for the interview. I sincerely appreciate it. And it was a real honor and privilege to win the Cleveland Clinic Medical Innovation Startup Showcase. So thank you.
We'd like to thank our guest, Christine Ashcraft, CEO and founder of YouScript, for sharing with us her experiences as an award winner at the Cleveland Clinic's 2018 Medical Innovation Summit, the importance of role models and why it is important to have more women leaders in our industry, and why data is reshaping healthcare. We also would like to thank our sponsor, New Wave. Innovation That Sticks podcast is copyrighted production of HIMSS, a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology, with a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. HIMSS designs and leverages key data assets, predictive models, and tools to advise global leaders, stakeholders, and influencers of best practices in health information and technology, so we have the right information at the point of decision. HIMSS drives innovative, forward-thinking around best uses of information and technology in support of better connected care, improved population health, and low cost of care. Thanks for listening. I'm Ian Hoffberg. See you next time on Innovation That Sticks.